Well, again, we have the blessing this morning to have Pastor Rick here as our guest speaker, so let's welcome him this morning. Thanks, Pastor Rick.
It's just a privilege to be behind this pulpit and to give you the word. God, you know, when he allows ministers to do this, it's a privilege to be able to just give people word and let them know that how much God loves them. Do you know how much God loves you today? Amen?
Amen.
Come on, do you know how much God loves you today?
Yes.
God loves you, and he cares for you. And anyway, if you would turn in your Bibles to Exodus, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to expound a little bit on God's Word. And the title of my message this morning is, It Depends on Whose Hands It's In.
Well, right.
Amen?
Amen?
So a lot of things with God depends on whose hands it's in. And what they're going to do once they get it in their hands. Amen. I know that the potter, when he takes the clay, okay, this is a whole different message, but I'm just going to give this to you, and you can take this home with you. I'm not going to charge you for this one. Anyway, so it's free. When the potter gets the clay in his hands, he takes it, and he can take it, and he can put it on the wheel. And first of all, he had to get that clay to the perfection that he needed it with no air bubbles and nothing, and he needed that clay, and he got it to the perfect perfection that he needed to be able to make something out of it. You understand what I'm saying? And he takes the clay and puts it on the potter's wheel, and as he begins, the wheel starts to turn. He can take that lump of clay, and it's just a lump of clay, but he can take it and make something out of it beautiful, and he can form it and fashion it the way he wants to get it to look like what the end product that he wants. And that's what God's doing to us today. He wants to get us in his hands. And he wants to take us and make us and mold us what he wants us to be. And I want to be that clay that God can take and make something out of. And I don't always, you know, want to change the vessel because that's not what God wants. And my flesh would change the direction of the clay and the lump. Amen?
Amen?
But God comes to take it and make it and mold it what he wants it to be and to look like, act like, and be like, and the function that it needs to be for him. So it depends on whose hands it's in, all right? So I want to be in God's hands to let him take me and make me, mold me, what he wants me to be, amen? I'm going to read in Exodus, and you can follow along. I've got it on the screen up here also. And I'm going to read in Exodus about Moses and the rod of Moses, amen? So if you want to follow along in chapter 4 of Exodus, the first verse, it says, And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Lord, I come to you today, God, not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but your wisdom. Words, God, that you have spoken and what you directed and how your word directs us to you in every aspect of our life. God, there's nothing left out that you have not in our word that we may read and understand. And God, as we allow your Holy Spirit to come and give us the word, God, that it comes to pierce through our heart. It comes to change us and direct us into who you want us to be. God, it'll take us places that we might not want to go. God, it might keep us there longer than we want to stay. But God, your word comes, oh God, as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to direct us and guide us to the truth, oh God, which the Holy Spirit and your Son is the truth. And God, he is the light. He is everything we need, and we need to come and let us see that, God, it depends on who then, what your word can do and what it can produce. Today I want to give the message, Lord, and I want your anointing on this message and myself. God, you may anoint me to give, and that when we walk out of here that we're going to understand that, God, you want us to be in your hands all the time. God, when we get out of your hands, nothing but trouble comes and things will come our way. But God, you just always run to our rescue. You come back and you rescue us and take care of us. Lord, I just want to thank you today for all that you're doing right here in this place. God, between these four walls, your word that goes forth, God, will change our lives forever. Let this change our lives. change their hearts, their mind, the direction. We leave here, we won't be the same, but we will be changed. In the name of Jesus, I pray. We all said, amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Exodus 4, 1 through 5 tells about Moses. And I think we all have heard the story of Moses and God took him and he was in the bulrush and as a babe, and then how God just directed him to go and be, you know, he was royalty. He was in a place where anybody would want to be. He had money. He lived in the high life, but he chose not to live that life because being a Hebrew, he would not accept the Egyptian ways, okay? Therefore, when he got to the age of realizing that I'm a Hebrew, I am not an Egyptian, and these idols they serve and all that they do, and the Pharaoh is not my father. He is not mine, and I don't want no part of this, and so he begins to go his own way. And as he goes out and watches the Hebrew slaves slaving out there and making the bricks and what they're doing, and God is just watching over them, but yet they feel like, God, where are you at? Why have you not rescued this place? And why are we working hard at slavery and doing this? And God said, because you have to be obedient to my name. And every time we see when people get disobedient, they have to go through hardships. They have to go through things and maybe not be a slave and be slave to Egyptians and where they were at and to the Pharaoh, but they have to go through things. And God said, I will bring you out. But see, we're talking about 40 years later when God spoke, but see, Moses had to go and he had to kill the soldier, the one that came, the Egyptian soldier. He killed him and took him and buried him, but see, they knew that he did it. So he's running for his life. He goes to the backside of the desert. He spends 40 years. And God takes him and makes him and molds him and keeps him where he wants him to get him ready to do what he needed to do. Amen. Have you ever been in a spot where you just think, God, why am I here? How long am I going to be here? Why have I been here this long? God, is it time for me to move? And God says, just stand still. Wait, because I am taking you and making you and molding you what I want you to be before I'm ready for you to step out and do what I've asked you to do. How many knows we have a task for the Lord? How many knows we must be busy about God's business? He does not expect us to sit around and do nothing. Well, somebody else is going to take care of it. If I don't do it, somebody else will do it. And I'm not talking to you today. I'm still talking to all them out there, okay? Amen. Just bear with me. Amen. I want to talk to you today about things in people's hands, what they can do with what God gives them or what they have. And I'm talk today about just things that are in a fleshly world that people have taken and they've made themselves very, very rich by what they can do and the ability they have. First of all, I want to talk about a basketball in our hands is worth about $30. Okay? A basketball in LeBron James' hands is worth $270 million. See, it depends on whose hands it's in. Amen? He can take a $35 basketball and make $270 million. Okay, it depends on whose hands it's in. A football in our hand is worth about $25, okay? A football in Eli Manning, or you can take any quarterback, whoever you like, but I looked up, he says he's the number one top paid quarterback as in today's day, okay? A football in Eli Manning's hand is worth $80 million. See, it depends on whose hands it's in. You can take a football, you can go out and play, but you can't make a penny on that football because you just don't have the ability he has. A basketball, or baseball in our hand, is worth about $5. A baseball in Alex Rodriguez's hand is worth $300 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. His net worth is $300 million. See, he can take a baseball, you go out and play baseball, how much you going to make with that baseball? Nothing. He can take it and make $300 million with a baseball. Amen? It depends on whose hands it's in. A golf club in our hand is worth about $25, depending on the club you get. But a golf club in Tiger Woods' hands is worth $550 million. That's his worth. See, it depends on whose hands it's in. Amen? I like to play golf, but I'm a hacker. It goes there. When I want it to go there, it goes there. So I can't do nothing with that, but he can take it and make $550 million. Amen? A tennis racket in our hand is worth about $75. A tennis racket in Roger Federer's hand is worth $300 million. That's his net worth. It depends on whose hands it's in. Amen? So I'm looking at this and saying, God, let me ask you a question. I mean, you know, it depends on whose hands it's in. What they can do with what they have in their hand. And I can take this word, and this word can make you a Billy Graham. This word can make you a T.D. Jakes. This word can take you and make you a Joel Osteen. This word can come and it can take you and make you a Rod Parsley. It can come and it can make you who you want to be. I don't know what you want it to be and what it wants to be. God said, I want to take this and I want to put it in your hand. And you know what? It can make something out of you. It can take you places that you never thought you could go. It'll let you do things you never thought you could do. You'll have anointing when you have this word in your hand. This is my anointed word. Take it and put it in your hand and I'll show you what I can do with it. Amen. It'll make you somebody. It'll take you and make you a minister of the gospel. It'll take and make you a teacher. It'll make you a children's church director. It'll make you a music director. It'll take and make you because this takes you and makes you and molds you what God wants you to be, not what the world wants you to be, and not what the flesh would say, but what the Spirit would say. And it says, this is my word, and this will mold you into what I want you to do, and what I want you to say, where I want you to go, what I want you to be, and this will direct you. Boy, when I was growing up, I was very bashful. Yeah, I was. I was so bashful that I couldn't get up in front of the class and even talk. The teacher said, oh, it's your turn. Come on. And I was so scared. I was shaking like a leaf because I was just afraid to get up in front of anybody. As I went through school, stayed that way. I didn't get any better. As I went and went into the workplace, still bashful, I would talk and people say, what did you say? I can't hear you. When you talk, you don't talk loud enough. I was afraid to speak in front of people, but when the Holy Spirit come up on me and started, you know, telling me, you're going to be a preacher. I'm like, God, no, no, not me. I can't speak. I'm talking like Moses said, Lord, I wasn't slow of speech. I didn't have a speech impediment. I'm just afraid to talk. So you take the word and what it does, it finally comes and it gives you the holy boldness. The boldness that God wants you to have and He wants to take and make somebody out of you, sometimes you don't want to be. And you'll fight it, but God keeps coming and say, you're going to preach my word. I remember the first time I ever spoke a message. The pastor said, you know what, I believe you could preach. I said, oh no, I'm afraid to get up in front of people. I can't do that, what you do. And he said, no, I'm going to have you speak. And he said, would you do that? I said, I got to pray about that. I don't know if I could even get up and say anything in front of people. I wouldn't know what to say. So I'm praying about it and I'm seeking God and asking God, you know, God, you know that I'm afraid to get up in front of people. How am I going to ever get up there and say anything? And somehow the Lord just gave me a holy boldness that I called Him. I said, hey, I'm going to do it. He said, good for you. All right, Sunday morning, He said, I'm going to give you, He said, maybe five minutes. That's all you got to do. I said, okay. I can do 5 minutes. So I sit down and I started talking to God. God started talking to me and He gave me a message. And I just started jotting down and writing the things and I was, you know, getting scripture and I'm like, this is awesome. I mean, I didn't think I could ever do this. See, God wants to mold you. He wants to make you. And it took all them years to get God and maybe I was on the backside of the desert waiting for God to step me out into the place He wanted me, okay? And as I wrote my message, I got up that Sunday morning and oh, I was scared. My hands were sweating. I was shaking. I'm in the house. It was full. I bet there was 300 people there. I was like, oh, Lord God, how am I going to get up in front of them people? I can't do it. There's no possible way I can get up there and do that. And God said, yes, you can. So anyway, we go through the service and it gets time for me to get up there. And I'm thinking, man, I got to give 5 minutes. I get up there and He introduces me and I go up and I get behind the pulpit and I open up my book and there's my 5 minutes. I start preaching that word. The Holy Spirit come up on me. I got bold. I didn't care how many people were there. I didn't see faces no more. I just knew the word was in my heart. I knew what God had given me and I started giving the word. And 10 minutes go by. 15 minutes goes by. And he's going like, tell me, your 5 minutes been up 10 minutes ago. And he said, are you going to stop? I said, yes. He said, when? I said, in a minute. 20 minutes goes by. I'm still preaching the word. And I finally said, I'm not even halfway done with my message. He goes, oh my. Good thing I didn't ask you to preach a whole message because you would have been an hour. I closed my book and he come up and he said, I'm not preaching today because I couldn't have done no better than him. And I felt so good that God had gave me that good of a message that my first message could have been that good. It was nothing to do with me. It's what God wanted to do and make me a mold. And from that time on, I was not afraid to get up in front of people. I have been in front of crowds. I've went to churches and preached to 1,000 people. And I just don't, you know what? I don't look at the faces and the people. I just know that the souls are there. They need to hear the word and what God gives you. He wants to take and make and mold you what He wants you to be. Today, it depends on whose hands it in and what you will let Him do with you. I want to be in God's hands. Amen? Do you? Amen. Do you want to be in God's hands today?
Yes.
All right. Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor will they hearken unto my voice. He said, they're not going to listen to me, Lord. No matter what I say to Pharaoh, he's not going to hearken to my words or listen to me at what I say. First of all, I killed an Egyptian soldier. I have blood in my hands, Lord, and you know that, and I'm slow to speak, and I have a speech impediment. Now, what am I going to actually say to him? Standing on the backside of the desert, God said, I'll send you, and he said, I will give you an interpreter. I will help you. I will make sure that the word gets out. You just go. Sometimes God just says, go, and do what I tell you. When the door opens, you walk through it, and you do what God tells you, and don't worry about what's going to happen, because God will put the words in your mouth. He will tell you what to say. You about it, amen? He said, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. It was just a rod. Amen? Don't think that God knows everything. God has to make us simple. God knows everything. But He makes it simple for us, and He brings it down to where we can understand all that He's trying to say, and He will bring it down to our terms, because God knows how to do it to get people to, you know that we are somebody in Him. And God can get our attention to do that. And He got Moses' attention on the backside of the desert. Moses is up on the mount. He sees a bush. It's burning. It's on fire. He's like, the bush is on fire. He goes over, and as he gets closer, and he's looking, the bush is not consumed, but the bush is on fire. There's fire in the bush. The Holy Spirit of God had put fire in that bush, and it was consumed. But yet it was not completely consumed by the bush, but the fire. And as he got closer, God said, Moses, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. I believe Moses that time said, oh God, I'm in your presence. I feel you and know you, and I know what I can do when I'm in your presence, because you get in God's presence. You start feeling the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You start to get bold, and you're able to say those things that once you couldn't say, or you can go where you once couldn't go. Now God has directed you, and He's got you where He wants you, and He puts you on a path to where He wants you. And you do not stop. You do not give it any excuses to God, because when you get there, God will make a way. He said, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. And He said this. God said, cast it on the ground. Moses just took God by His word and what He said. He cast it on the ground. When he threw it on the ground, listen to this. Good thing he wasn't holding it. But you know why? Because the snake, sounds to me like Moses probably, he said he fled from it and was on the ground. What do you think he would have done if it was in his hand? So God knows ahead of us and knows what we're going to do. So He told him, He said, cast it on the ground. Get it out of your hand, because I don't want you to be scared to death when it turns into a snake and you're going to run off and run away from the Pharaoh. So he throws it on the ground. It becomes a snake. I think that's why God said cast it on the ground, because when it became a serpent, Moses fled from before it. God can even use people that are scared. How many knows that? You can be afraid of things and circumstances. You can be afraid of things in your life. But see, you know what? God still wants to use you. You know why? Because He can take you and put you to the place that He wants you, and you're afraid, but all of a sudden when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and God comes and anoints you, you become bold. You will do the work that He knows you can do, because God said He would not put a burden on you that you cannot bear. That means God's not going to put you in a situation that you're going to be scared. God's not going to put you in a situation where you're going to be able not to perform what God tells you, because He said, I won't put a burden on you you cannot bear. So think about the times when you thought you were just so burdened down. No, it wasn't a burden. Yes, you thought it was, but God said, you know what? I have not put a burden on you. You don't have a burden on you. Come on. Get out of that thinking that you're burdened down, because I don't put a burden on you. In fact, it says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. So He said, I'm going to take care of you. How many times have you been afraid to do something or step out for God? Come on now, you have been. And God said, don't be afraid. Because when I put my word on your heart, you will speak. And he said, Psalms 119:11 says, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, I've hid my word in your heart. And you're ready to give it. Don't be afraid to give it. I don't know who this is for. It's for somebody. He said, give the word. Don't quit being afraid to give the word when I tell you to. Amen? Whoever that's for, take it and use it. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and became a rod in his hand again. See, God can take that rod. God can take that thing, whatever it is that's in your hand, he can use it for a mighty thing for people to see. That, you know what, no other way could that have happened, but my power from God gave me power to be able to use that instrument for him. You are an instrument yourself to be used by God. You are a mouthpiece. Matter of fact, you are the faucet. He puts all the power behind the faucet. You know what? There has to be water behind it before you can turn it on and get something out of it, right? So God puts the water behind the faucet, which is the Holy Spirit, the oil. And when you turn on that faucet, all of a sudden it comes out. And you know what? We got to just believe that when God opens up our faucet, it's going to come out because we've put it in there and we've studied and got his word in our heart. And then what? You know what? God, when we open the faucet, it opens, God's words come out. I don't know about you, but I want God's words to come out when the faucet opens. God's got to open his faucet. We are the faucet. Amen? Put it where it should be. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared in thee. He said, I will show them, and I will give them signs, and I will let them see that what happens is not by your ability, but is your God in heaven, the God of Jacob, Isaac, Jacob, Abraham. He said, I will give you the words, and I will show them who I am, and they will be afraid of you. Amen? God should not have to prove to us what he can do all the time. God shouldn't have to prove as we pray, oh God, just give me a sign. God, show me something and just let me know that it's you. And you know what? God says, how many times do I have to show you? How many times do I have to prove to you who I am in your life because all the things I've done for you and from where I've taken you and you have seen how my spirit has watched over you and I have put a hedge about you and taken care of you. How many knows that God puts a hedge about you, takes care of you? God puts you maybe sometimes in a situation where you say, oh God, there's no way out. And all of a sudden, God's always on time. He's an on-time God. He might scare you, but he is always on time. Amen? He's never late. So Moses, in the third chapter, we saw to the burning bush. And that the bush burned with fire and was not consumed by the fire. But how many times does God just have to come and keep showing himself and showing himself? A rod in our hand will keep away a wild animal. We can take a rod and sometimes a wild animal come up. We can fend ourselves off with that rod. And we can make that animal stay away. A rod in Moses' hand, it parted the Red Sea. Just that rod, God put the power in the rod, and he said, Moses, touch the water. When Moses went up and they were at the Red Sea and the Pharaoh's army was behind him, there was no way to get across. God just went and he said, Moses, put your rod in the water. The rod went in the water. When it did, it parted the Red Sea. Matter of fact, the wind blew and it dried the ground that they could go across on dry ground. The waves came up and the water came up and stood straight up in the air. I don't know how high it was, but the Red Sea stood up and there was nothing in between. There was a channel for them to get from one side of the Red Sea to the other to get over to where God was going to send them into the land that flowed with milk and honey. All right? We know that God can take just a rod. And when it touched the water, you know what it did? It spread the Red Sea. It got them to where they needed to go. Sometimes God just says, take your rod and you just touch and show. I'll show you where you can go and what you can do. We need to believe him and trust upon his word. A rod in Moses put the rock when they were out in the desert. Enough water came out of for all the Israelites and their livestock, 6 million people. God provided just out of a rock by Moses touching the rock with his rod. And all the water came out to feed them and to take care of all their livestock and give them water. Amen? It depends on whose hands it's in. God puts things in our hands for us to use. How many times do you think, oh God, if I just had this or that, and God said, I'll provide it. But you got to use it when I give it to you. This is the word, very word that God gives us like a rod that can do all these things we're talking about. All the things the apostles did, Jesus said, greater things ye shall do than I have done. They said, but Lord, how could we do those things? We don't know because we saw you open blinded eyes. We saw you do all the miracles. You brought Lazarus out of the tomb alive after 4 days. God, who else could do that? You can open deaf ears. You can make the lame to walk. You've cast out demons. How can we do any greater than you? But he said, you shall do greater things than I have ever done. And they had to believe him and take him at his word that he was talking and telling them the truth. Amen. We go later on and we see after the day of Pentecost, after Peter comes out of the upper chamber and he gets out there and he's bold now. He's got a word. He's not a cusser no more. He's not a liar no more. He's not afraid of the government. He's not afraid of the Roman soldiers. He's not afraid of those things because the Holy Spirit came up in the upper chamber and now he's bold. He goes down them steps. When he gets down there, he uses what God has already gave him, because in the 16th chapter of Matthew, he said, Peter, I have prayed for you because the devil has desired to sift you as wheat. But he said, when thou art converted, he says, strengthen thy brethren. He didn't know what he was talking about. I believe that he went down enough steps. God said, this is it. This is what I prepared you for. This is what I said when my son said that I prayed for you. Now he said, go strengthen your brethren and give them what I've gave you. Give them the holy boldness that I've given you through the Holy Spirit. Now he walks down the steps. He goes out in the street. And they just began to give the word. He gave the word to them. And he expounded all the things that God gave him. And the Holy Ghost came upon him. And they said, these men must be drunken. Supposed to be the third hour of the day. He said, these men are not drunken. These men are filled with the Holy Spirit. They have the power that God has told us we're going to have. Now they have that power. And he said, and then Joel prophesied, in the last days these things shall come to pass. And he knew that this would happen. And God prepared his word for them that day. How many times does God have to keep putting things in our hand for us to get understanding of what hands and what we need to do with it? Amen? Amen? There's many times when God will give us a word. Do we take that word and just take it and use it and give it to him? A slingshot in our hands is a toy. You ever slung a slingshot? Very inaccurate. I mean, you take that thing and you've got to hold the strings. And you got the rock or the whatever you got in that sling. And all it is a piece of leather and straps coming up. And you've got to be able to take that thing. And you got to wind it up and get it going so it's got momentum. And you've got to be able to let go of one string at the right, the perfect timing. And the time that it lets go to send that object right to the right place you want it to hit. So that's something we could just play around with and try to get good at it. A toy in his hand, a slingshot in David's hand, is a mighty weapon and can kill giants. See, God took a slingshot and took just a rock that he took from the riverbed. And he put the rock in the sling, and when he got to the giant, when he got to Goliath, it says that he ran across and he ran up to him. And he said, you're going to be afraid of this uncircumcised giant, this Philistine? How in the world does you, Saul, and do all the armies of God, let him mock our God of heaven? He's not going to mock our God because I will go out and fight this Philistine. And he wasn't afraid because God put something in his hand that he knew that he was able to use. But yet, see, God, I believe, directed that rock right into Goliath's forehead to where it would take him down. So this little sling was a mighty tool, an instrument, a weapon for David. Amen? It depends on whose hands it's in. Amen? Amen? Depends on whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in our hand is a few fish sandwiches. It's about it. If you've got five loaves of bread and two fish, you're going to make some sandwiches. That's it. A few sandwiches. But see, two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed 5,000 men, not even including women and children. It depends on whose hands it's in. When Jesus told the disciples, he said, the people are hungry. He said, get them something to eat. And they said, Lord, we're way out, away from town, away from things. Where are we going to get anything to feed them? And Jesus said, just go find some. They came and they found a little boy that had a basket. See, he just had a little basket of food. Here's 5,000 men sitting on there, women and children, sitting on the mountainside waiting for Jesus to speak to them. And here it is. We got two fish and five loaves. They bring it back to Jesus and they said, this is all we could find right here. This is it. What's in our hands is what we have. And Jesus said, okay. He said, let me bless it. He blessed it, took it. He said, now hand it out to the people. Take it and feed the people. They're probably still thinking, Lord, you want us to put it in teeny pieces? He said, just do what I told you. They took the basket, they started handing out. Every time somebody took a fish, another fish. Took a fish, another fish. Took a bread, another loaf of bread. Every time they would take it out, it was there. It came and it filled the basket back up, and they went around 5,000 men, and not including women and children, keep feeding and feeding and feeding, and feeding all the people. What they had in their hand was sufficient to feed all the people. They fed all the people and came back, and they had more left over than they had when they started. See, that's what God can do. God can give you more in the end than you had in the beginning. Look at Job, what Job had. But God chose to let Satan come, and he took the hedge down. And you know what? God let Satan take everything away from him. He lost his children, lost his homes, he lost all his livestock, he lost everything. But yet God came back, and he said, Job, I'm going to put more in your hands than you had in the beginning. See, and God did. He gave him more in the end than he had in the beginning. We got to trust God that he's always got in his hand what he wants to give us, and he puts it in our hands and says, now use what you have in your hands for me. It depends on whose hands it's in. Nails in our hands will produce a birdhouse. You can maybe build a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands produce salvation for the entire world. That went a long ways, didn't it? It depends on whose hands it's in. And I talk about Jesus. He went to the cross, and as they put the nails in his hands and his feet, the nails could have produced something else or been used, the spikes could have built something else. It could have been produced and made prior to that, and God ordained the day that he went to the cross, and God knew that those spikes, those nails, would be the exact ones that went in his son's hands and feet. And he let them use them because they put them in their hands and they fulfilled God's word. Because it had to come to pass. As Jesus went on the cross and they nailed him to the cross. That became in their hands the weapon that would come and it would not come up against God. No weapon shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. They meant it for bad. They nailed him to the cross for bad. Tried to kill him, but see, they didn't know that he was the Son of God, that he would live again. That the tomb that was repaired, that was not his tomb, a borrowed tomb, that he would go in and was put into God's hands. As they put him in the tomb, it was prepared for him, and that God put it in their hands. And everything God did, he put it in their hands that they may be able to use it at the time that he needed to use it. Today, he has put people in our higher places. He has used people to put in high places. He rises up kings. And he sets him down. He put Saul in his place when it was time for David to come into kingship. He set Saul down. He let him die. And he put David in his place. When it was time for him to take David out, he took and he put his son Solomon in his place. God has a reason and a thing and put people in places. And he puts it in his hand to put it in your hand. What does God put in your hand today? What has God already put in your hand that you may not be using for him? Think about all the things because it depends on whose hands it's in. Amen? I want God, when he puts something in my hands, that I take it and I use it for him. For the ability that this says I can do. It says I can do it. If Jesus said it, I believe it. Amen? Do you? Today? If he says you shall do greater things, do you believe he can? You can. I believe that these men that I'm talking about today that Billy Graham just believed that I can get up and I can preach and I can win people to the Lord. And I'm not going to let nothing stop me. Franklin Graham took his place and now he's still out. He's ministering the word. He's taking this. And he's giving it to people and he's making a difference in their lives because this is what God put in his hand. I believe that Joe Osteen and I believe that T.D. Jakes, I believe these men, I believe that Rod Parsley, they've all taken the word and they've put it in their hand and they've believed what it said, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they've taken what God has put in their hand and they've made it what God wanted it to be. You're going to take this word and make it what God wants it to be. Are you going to put in your hands and let God take you and make you and mold you what this says you should be today? Amen? We have a decision to make. How far am I going to go with God? How much am I going to let God do in my life? Where am I going to go for God? If God tells me to go, am I even going to step out to even do it? We've got to know that what God puts in your hand, he wants you to use it for him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you know now and you can see that it depends on whose hands it's in. I told you about all the athletes that can take something that's not worth much and they can make millions and millions of dollars out of it. I can take a word that is worth billions of dollars and people won't even pick it up. This is worth billions of dollars. This is worth more than money than in the whole world. The word tells me this. It said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? This is worth more to you than anything in your whole life. This is worth more money than all of money in the world. See, this can buy you a place in heaven that you don't have to actually pay for. It can get you there without a penny. It can get you there without anything else. But see, you've got to do what it says. We've got to take it up and put it in our hands and say, this is what God put in my hands and I'm going to use it. Amen. Today I challenge you to take this and put it in your hands. Consume it. Live it. Every word to the jot and the tittle is going to be fulfilled in this word when Jesus Christ comes back. And I believe that I'm looking and I'm watching. I'm seeing all the signs. I'm not even looking for any more signs. I'm just listening for the sound of the trumpet. Because Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to split the eastern skies. And when he does, there's going to be no time to say, I'm sorry. There's going to be no time to say, oh God, forgive me. There's not going to be no time to say, oh God, I should have lived a better life. I should have done more for you. I should have did it. You know, we always, sometimes we get so busy that we don't pay attention to people, our loved ones around us. We get so busy we don't have time for them because we've got too many things to do. But the thing that hits home when they die, as soon as we hear about it, we go, oh, I should have spent more time with them. I should have went and seen them. See, it's too late. You can't do it now. Because, see, your opportunity was then. I'm going to tell you today, now is our opportunity to live that life and to pay more attention to God. Pay more attention to Jesus. Have a relationship with him that he wants you to have, not what the world would say, because, you know, I can get by with 1 minute of God and I can get by with 23 hours, and what, 59 minutes with the world. I need to know that I'm ready to go, that I'm ready, that I'm ready, that I'm ready. Because, see, I don't know the hour. Disciples asked Jesus, what is the hour that you'll come back, return? He said, I don't know the hours nor the angels in heaven. He said, God only knows the hour. But I believe that we're not down to the hour, we're down to the very minute and the second, because I've seen all the signs. I've seen everything. You can go to Matthew 24, you can read it, and you can say, Jesus told us all these things shall come to pass. We've seen it all come to pass. We know everything that's going to happen. I know that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be nation against nation fighting. We've seen it all. We've seen earthquakes in diverse places, strange different places. We've seen tsunamis and things happen all over the world. Said it was going to happen. We've seen famine and pestilence in other lands, and we see it all happening and taking place. We've seen it all, saints. We know. I know that Jesus is coming back soon. He can't lie. He cannot lie. We need to be ready. We need to tell others. When God puts something in your hand, use it for him. Let him take you and make you, mold you what he wants you to be today. Amen. Put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families and your relationships in God's hands. Because why? It depends on whose hands it's in. Put it all in God's hands today. Just lay it down at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, here's everything I've got. Here's my family. Here's my job. Here's everything I have. And here, I'm going to lay it down and put it at your feet. And it's yours. If we could just learn to do that and trust God that way, God says, say, now, you've done the right thing because now I have control of it. Before, you wouldn't let me control it. Amen? You're going to take all the money you got and go to somebody and just say, hey, here's all the money I got. Take it and take care of it. You don't trust them. You can go, how do I know what you're going to do with my money? But I could take it and I can give it to Jesus and know what he could do it. He can take it and multiply it. He can control it to where it doesn't control me. Come on. He can make it where it doesn't control me, and He controls it. Because it can control people. Amen? And I just want us to know that it depends on whose hands it's in, what you can do with it, and what you can be for God today. Amen? Let's all stand. I'm going to close. And just let God take you this week and just pray the prayer. Pray the prayer that, God, I'm going to take my life and my family and everything I've got. And God, I just want to put it in Your hands, because what better hands could I put it in? And there's no better hands. I could just put it in Your hands. And Lord, take me and let me be that instrument You want and You need. That You can show me all the people out there that are hurting. And every time I come upon somebody, God, Your Holy Spirit directs me. And I will not be afraid to tell them about Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm going to just pray and we'll close. And just let God bless you this week. Hopefully this gave you some insight or direction on what God wants in our life and whose hands He wants it to be in. Amen? Lord Jesus, I come to You today. God, and I know that this message, God, is a message that directs us always back to You. It comes to heal our lives and change us. Redirect our lives that we may be, God, an instrument for You. God, that we may be used of You to do mighty things in Your name. God, that we can go places we never thought we could go. God, we can do things we never thought we could do. Lord, we can say things that we never thought we'd be able to say. God, give us that holy power, that Spirit. God, that gives us holy boldness to do things for You. God, that we will step out by faith and we will walk, not by sight, but we will walk in Your Spirit. And Lord, we can't go wrong when we walk in Your Spirit, because You will guide us to direct us to where we need to really be. Not where we think or not what we know, but it's what You know and what You think. Help us to live that way this week. Help us to change the direction of our life and to know that, God, You will put things in our hands. And when we realize it and You show us, let us use them for You, for what we can do for You. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.